The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles
in your soul. Yes, it does. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm living the dream.
Great. We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading, KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're also streaming worldwide. Everybody in the world can hear this, right, Wynn?
Yes, sir.
At KCNR.com. 1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment, and we do encourage that, especially with what we're going to talk about today, phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567. The Shasta County Board of Supervisors had a very interesting meeting this last Tuesday in which they passed a resolution basically not to partner with the state of California in their illegal immigration process and basically trying to show Shasta County sovereignty. Sheriff Michael Johnson came out and gave a presentation, a very good one. And a lot of people have different takes on Sheriff Johnson. Some people think he's liberal. Some people think he's middle of the road. Some people think he's conservative. The whole point was is this sheriff got up there, stood up, and talked about what was going on the border. Talked about what he had observed by being down on the border. And he was down in the county of Chula, well, the city of Chula Vista, that's where he was. And then he went down to the border itself, down to San Ysidro, which is, by the way, the largest and busiest point of entry in the world. The sheriff brought up some very, very good points. He's very disturbed by what's going on, by the illegal activity, what's coming across the border, all that good stuff. And Wynn and I are going to jump into that a little bit. Then we're going to talk about some solutions that we could have because we haven't heard too many solutions on what we can do. We did hear what was wrong and how bad it was. One of the things the Shasta County Board of Supervisors intended to do with this resolution was to say, no, we're just not going to partnership with you. We need to stand up against this stuff and we need to make sure that we have some sovereignty here because and one of the points Kevin Cry made, which I thought was very good, and that is that we don't have really the resources to take in and shield these people. We don't have the resources anyway. Right. I mean, if they're looking for asylum somewhere, we just don't have the resources to take care of them. So anyway, we're gonna kind of jump into that. And the first thing I want to bring up is when Sheriff Johnson first got up there, he was giving sort of a broad view of what's going on the border. So if you could, and I was in Chula Vista, by the way, on the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th of April. I was down there doing some teachings on some things, and I was taken and escorted over to the border, and I saw the port of entry, and I mean to tell you, man.
Escorting you over there to let you go?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't dressed nice enough.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, and this is something we'll get into and when, if I forget, we need to talk about these people that are coming over and what the real deal is. But
yeah.
Let's get down to it.
Okay, before we get going, though, he was down there in December, and we heard this last week. 4 months after he was there, he finally shares that with the county. So I have a question on that. What took so long?
Well,
I mean, the information, everything else is wonderful, and he was right on it, and he was poignant on it. He was good. He shared all this information, which makes you nauseated to think of what's happening to our state and our country. But what took 4 months for him to come and do a presentation?
Well, I think part of it was the fact that he and Kevin Cry were getting together on this issue. So I think that was part of it. And I'm not giving anybody any kind of excuses, but I mean, December, if you're down there, I mean, I still have a lot to assimilate from when I was down there 2 weeks ago. Okay, so I could understand how some of the things that he had to have a basis and a platform to do it, right? Okay, so Kevin came up with this resolution with a couple of the other supervisors. They've got this resolution they bring up about not partnering with the state, protecting our people here, blah, 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 blah. Point being is I think that was the pinnacle point. I'm sure that these guys have been talking for a month anyway. So December to April, you're right. I mean, I don't disagree that it could have come forth sooner. But with the recall and the election and all the other stuff, maybe it just wasn't, it was a timing issue, I think, part of it.
I'm just
saying.
Okay. Well, I ask questions like that because I want to know, and I'm always curious as to why things take as long as they do. Is there a good justifiable reason? If there is, let's hear it. And if there isn't, well, let's hear that too.
Well, I think the election was in the way. I mean, frankly, Kevin didn't know whether it was going to get recalled or not. Yep. I think that was a lot of it, and he was the spearhead on this.
Well, the sheriff can come to the BOS anytime he wants. He can make that announcement on local media. He could do that. So there are platforms that he can use.
Sure.
And the thing is, what he was telling us is a lot of stuff we've already known here in Shasta County by witnessing it firsthand and people sharing it all over social media, and law enforcement already knows it.
Well, I think a lot of what he talked about, people didn't know here. And
that's
I know
true.
A lot
that's
of people, I know, they didn't even know down in San Diego. And I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to throw
no,
that
no,
out.
No, I'm with you. I mean, you know, I understand that. I don't disagree. I think it could have been brought forth sooner. I'm just saying probably some of the reasons why they didn't, regardless, he brought it up now.
Right.
Point being is that when you look at the border itself, and you look at what's going on down there, the idea to see how that works and who's actually coming through is the scary part. You know, when you talk about San Ysidro, that's the port of entry right there in, below Chula Vista right there. That's the largest point of entry in the world. Okay. Now, as you look at the border, you have a fence on the Mexican side and a fence on the American side. And what you have there is maybe you got, you know, what, 100 yards, something like that. And Johnson referred to that as no man's land.
Between the two border fences.
Yes, between the two border fences. Okay. And so then what they're doing is they're bringing people in via Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
They land there in the plane. They get out of the plane, maybe 30 of them. They get off, and then they get sort of shuffled across through the border in Mexico and then shuffled into the United States. And the scary part is...
Okay, and right there. What airlines are transporting these people from these foreign countries to Mexico that are coming into the U.S.?
Well, what difference would it make?
If there was a way, then what we do is we put pressure on those airlines. We don't buy tickets from those airlines.
Okay, well, the NGOs. What about the NGOs? There's a lot of churches, so we just don't go to those churches.
Right.
The point is that if you're on an airplane and you're being flown in and you have a ticket, and you've gone through TSA or whatever you go through from another country, and you're coming in to go into Mexico, you may have a visa or whatever you need to get into Mexico.
Right.
It's the part of being landing in Mexico.
And getting to California.
Getting to California.
Yes.
That's what about the people who do the buses? How about the NGOs? That's the real question.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you've got all these churches and a lot of these 501c3s that are sponsoring these people to come through. So anyway, what happens is you have probably around 1,000 a day that get processed. And here's the way the processing works. Once they get through one side to the other side, then they're in basically something called a processing center. And that's costing $3 million a month for this processing center. They get sent to the processing center. Then what they do is they go in there and then they get told what's your name? Well, they give the name. They don't have to show any ID. You get a name. You give them a name. They take a photo ID of you. Then they say, well, where do you want to go? Well, my name is Sam and I want to go to Chicago. So they get you set up to go to Chicago. You go to Chicago and then they tell you, hey, what we're going to do is have you get in touch with an ICE agent there. And when you get there, okay, then, you have a citation we're giving you here. However, the citation is 5 to 7 years. 5 to 7 years. So basically, here they are. They land in Tijuana. They go across, maybe 30 of them. They go in, they're there at this little detention facility, then they get transported off and taken to one of these huge tents they have.
Mm-hmm.
They're about 10,000 square feet.
Yep.
And each one of these big tents are like the size of Costco. Okay, so what happens is they go ahead and they now are in there. They get their little thing to where they get all their information. And these people that are coming across, like, I think you and I talked about this before, and the people that I saw, I mean, they're dressed in Nikes. They have nice clothing on. They're not coming over here, you know, in a way to where they look like they're impoverished in any sense.
They have cell phones that they know how to use.
Absolutely. And the other part about it is they're mostly men. They're mostly men.
And they're using TikTok to get where they need to go.
Absolutely. And so you have, like, basically, you know, you've got somewhere in the neighborhood of, 3,000 a month are coming in. 3 million a month are coming in, sometimes, across these areas, all across the United States. Now, the thing that's really crazy is that there are 6,124,000 border-related problems a year. 6 million of them. Now, what do you think that's costing? Now, I know that Sheriff Johnson had talked about he had met with the sheriff in San Diego. But when you look at how terrible all this stuff for them is, the sheriff's office there, they've got an influx of crime. They have rescue things they have to do. They've got all kinds of drug related problems. They've got rescue operations, as I said. The other thing that's really kind of hard is the fact that the border policy basically has gotten worse since Biden got into office. What a shock.
Oh, really? Hadn't noticed.
Yeah, hadn't noticed that, huh? And the thing that's really kind of goofy about this whole thing is that the San Diego Sheriff's Department and the Border Patrol knows across the border which buildings and which cartels in those buildings are filtering out which crime.
Yep.
Whether it be sex trafficking, whether it be drugs, whether it be arms, doesn't matter what it is, they know who it is. Now,
they're amassing their army over here.
Absolutely. Well, see, and that's what we're going to bring up here in a little bit, because the thing I was trying to figure out of this whole deal, when push comes to shoves, you know, what exactly is it that we want to prove? And I called Kevin Cry, and he gave me six things that he thought that maybe the resolution would talk about. And the first thing was jurisdiction. Well, my thought process was about jurisdiction. The jurisdiction of naturalization is of who? The federal government.
The federal government.
Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4. We gave that to them. We gave them naturalization, and that was something we gave to them to do when we created the federal government. Now, there are ways that we can protect ourselves, and that's what I want to get into with you and I. I want to get into this in a little bit. But anyway, the jurisdiction really isn't of us, but is it? And I want to come back to that.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And I want to come back to the 10th Amendment on that.
Okay.
Okay. Then we have the lack of resources we have, which is a good one. I think that's a good point. Saying, hey, we can't take these people in.
Right.
We don't have the money to do so. We don't have the resources to do it. We can't bring them in here. And also, that basically we're just not going to partner with the state in these things. Something Johnson said that really stuck was the thing that there's no recourse for us to send them back. What's the recourse to send them back? We don't have a way to send them back, so they're coming across the border. I don't have a way to send them back. They go through this little processing thing, then they go and they get their little ticket to go where they want to go. They don't have to have any photo ID or anything like that. And then they have a citation. We really clump down on them with the law, don't we, brother? Clump right down and say, hey, you know, you got five to seven years to go wreak your havoc.
Yeah.
You know, so the third thing is that there's an implication of our porous border. Well, duh. Okay. We have a really bad border.
That's a no-brainer.
You think? And then we have Shasta sovereignty. Okay, and I get that. Now, I want to come back to Shasta sovereignty along with jurisdiction. It's basically our decision. Now, I'm trying to figure out what that's based on, whether all this is our decision or not. I know that the sheriff's hands are tied, even with being able to single out some of these people that are illegals. But one of the questions I think that needs to be asked of the sheriff, and that is, how many illegals in Shasta County have committed crimes?
Mm-hmm.
How many do we have that have committed crimes? How many do we have in the jail?
Do they track that?
Should they track that?
Absolutely.
I would guess they would track it with all this information that was given. But you know, when you stop and think about how they're getting everything across the border, they've got those three buildings, right? They bring the stuff across. They're doing it with kids. They traffic stuff in through kids.
Right.
They traffic stuff in and drugs by people who work here who have visas to come back and forth. And then they go ahead and they stick stuff in their trucks or their cars. And sometimes they don't even know what's there.
Right.
And you know, when you start thinking about, well, this is all happening on the border, I could tell by the, I don't know, I guess he was shaken. The sheriff seemed to be shaken, basically, about what's going on and that they're coming up here. Now, there was an accident not too long ago on Highway 5. What was it? The 17 illegals in a
yep,
van
yep.
or something, and then one was killed. Where the hell did they come from?
Right.
You know, we're getting people bussed in. And the last program previous to us was talking about the white bus that they saw from Mexico
mm-hmm.
that was coming and dropping illegals off in the Walmart parking lot.
Right.
I mean, all this stuff is really going on. The city of Reading is really one of the culprits in this whole thing because they should be doing something about this. The county, yes, but the sheriff, yes, the jurisdiction of that. Where's the city council?
Oh, they're busy fighting with people.
Each other.
And each other, yeah.
So, you know, when we look at this kind of thing.
It all goes back to leadership.
Yes, sir. It all goes back to leadership. So we know the NGOs are giving the money to maybe, 90% of the people that are coming across. And again, in some cases, and I'm not sure whether this fact is right or not, I would have to assume that Sheriff Johnson had his facts right, but I find it hard to believe that just 2-4% are of Mexican descent. I find that, you know, maybe I'm looking at Mexican descent as Latin descent. In other words, it could be from Peru, it could be from Argentina, they
right.
could be from anywhere. But by the same token, I think the question we really have to ask ourselves, and what I really want to discuss, we talked about jurisdiction. We know the federal government has jurisdiction. Well, what if they're not doing their job? Okay, first.
Meaning the feds not doing their job? Is that what you're saying?
Well, what if the feds aren't doing their job? Yeah. So.
Then I guess it's up to the sovereign citizens to step up.
Well, it is, but is it that simple? Because
I don't know.
We know a lot of people going, Article 4, Section 4 about that we all are protected. Let's go right to it right here, and I'll read it to you. The Constitution and the laws. Let's go to Article 4, Section 1. Okay, the United States Constitution. Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on the application of legislature or the executive when legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. Okay, get that. And a lot of people are hanging their hat on that, but I think that it really goes to Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution.
And what does it say?
This is the kicker, and this is the thing. Now, remember we talked about where the cartels, that we know what's happening across the border.
Mm-hmm.
They have the buildings right there. Does the Mexican government know?
Of course they do.
Okay. So, I know. Why don't they handle some of their own problems? Or is that just legal to do all that? Is sex trafficking and all that stuff legal in Mexico? Is it in the country of Mexico?
I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you either. But the whole point is that all this stuff filtering across to our border, is there any onus that goes on the Mexican government?
I would say yes.
You think?
Yeah, they're allowing all those folks to land in Mexico, and they're skirting them across the border to the United States, in California specifically.
Yeah.
So, yes, they know. They are part of it. They're complicit in this entire crime.
That's the beauty of this. Okay, now I want to take phone calls on this. If you have one, I want your opinion on this. 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567.
And if you have a remedy, we want to hear that too.
100%.
We need to figure this out.
Now think about this a minute. No state, let's see if we have enough time to go through this. We have enough time to start it.
Go for it.
No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops, or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war, unless, what a great word,
unless
engage in war unless actually invaded. Are we invaded?
Yes.
We even know as a country and as a state, which is, the spawn of Satan raises his head again, doesn't he, old Newsom?
Mm-hmm.
We know the buildings that each one of these things are happening. Yeah, we know the buildings they're happening in. We know which cartels are in each building with this particular section of crime. We know that. Unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay, which means you don't have to go to Congress, you don't have to go to the president, you have to go to anybody because it's your job to protect him. Now, Sheriff Johnson said something.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he was elected to protect the people. He was elected to protect their constitutional rights. He was elected for all that stuff, or what he believes is constitutional rights. They're God-given. But he was elected to do that. So if he was elected to do that, does that give him any kind of authority under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, which I just read?
It gives all the sheriffs.
I think
so, too.
Better yet, it gives the people. And here's why it gives the people. Now, think about this, guys, and I'll come back to this. And I want to talk about this a little bit because I think we really need to start understanding exactly what it is and who we are as we the people. Let's go to the 10th Amendment. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, why do you think they put order to the people?
In case the state doesn't do what the people
Amen.
Want and or need.
Love you, brother.
Because then it's not the few making the decision, it's the mass making the decision.
Well, it's the people.
It's
right.
The people.
Okay, so if you have the people making the decision, okay, and Article 4, Section 1 is not being adhered to.
Right.
And Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 isn't being adhered to, then the sheriff, as the protector of that, now granted, in the state of California, the attorney general is the top dog when it comes to law enforcement. However, Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution says what? That we have to honor the Commerce Clause, which is the fact that the Constitution is the law of the land. So it trumps anything.
Right.
Okay, so we have that. Your oath of office, the first thing you do is your job is to protect the citizenry, your constituents. You need to protect their God-given constitutionally protected rights.
And that oath that they take is twofold. They take an oath to the federal constitution first, always first, and then they take an oath to the state constitution. And in the California state constitution, it says that the federal constitution is the supreme law of the land.
And we're an inseparable part of that.
And we're an inseparable part of that.
So no sheriff has an out.
Correct.
And we the people can do this. And I think there has to be something done about Mexico. Okay? There's a lot of opinion on that. But stop and think about this. They know what's going on. If they would put some control, what are they doing on their border? If we know, if our people know, if the FBI knows and our people know and everybody knows and the Border Patrol knows, each one of those houses, as they look across what they're doing there, and what the crime is and how they're shifting that across the border. Hello? It's like they know. It isn't like, gee, we don't know where that's coming from. I wonder if there's a tunnel. They know.
Yes, they do know.
And that's the problem. And so I think
the thing, too, are they going to want to keep all those invaders that are coming to Mexico? To their specific path is to come from their home country, go to Mexico, land there, and then come across the border into California. So if we locked it down, would they still want to keep all those invaders in their country? Would they stop allowing them flying in? You bet they would. They wouldn't allow that. I'm sure they have a percentage of them that still trickle out. Maybe they have a great control process where they get them to come across our border. I don't know. I haven't seen it from that side. But I can't imagine that they would allow all those invaders to land in their country and to stay in their country.
But they don't. They send them across to ours.
That's what I'm saying. So we put the stopgap on our side. Then all of a sudden now all 100%. These guys that are flying into their country, now they're being invaded by them.
Well, we do have to go off to a break. Great point, brother. We'll come back to that after the break. If you have a question or a comment, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. But I think the solution is the sheriff, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Sitting on a bar stool. Kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache. His voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul. In your soul, in your soul. I slipped in dreams, wandered the loggers and the cowboys. No crossfire, sack and set up. They cursed rough roads, hauling their load, but they did their best to deliver them. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a race full of
dreams. I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Redding Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Festa Gam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Attention foodies and flavor enthusiasts. Come down to Wind River Resort and Casino and sink your teeth into a flavor explosion with our Cinco de Mayo special. Satisfy your cravings with our mouthwatering Berea quesadilla. Available in seasons on Sunday, May 5th from 3 p.m. till 9 p.m. Indulge in this culinary masterpiece for only $10 with a River Club card or $15 without. For complete menu details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Made in America.
Great song, great country artist.
Great song.
Too bad he went too soon.
You know, before the break, you were talking about Tijuana. You know, there's 2,000 homicides a year
in Tijuana. Gee, makes 2, you really want to go visit Tijuana, doesn't it?
Well, they don't visit for long. They just land there and go across the border to us.
Oh.
You know, and we have 4,800 known terrorists in the United States that we have on record.
That we know of. And that's just coming from the South. What's coming from the north that we have no idea about?
Well, I think the Canadian border, I mean, there's some real patriots up there that are trying to really stand, God bless the truckers up there,
mm-hmm.
But they're really trying to stand for, stopping and partnering possibly with people in the United States,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it comes to the border situation. The challenge we have is trying to get the understanding that if we have Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, where we can actually defend ourselves and the people whom we elect should be spearheading the defense of our sovereignty and the defense of our safety. But if that doesn't work, we have the 10th Amendment where we can go back to, as you said, Wynn, and correctly so, that if the state isn't going to do it, the people can. So it's reserved to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so I'm trying to figure out, we keep talking about were we the people, well, we need to start acting like it. Siskiyou Steve, what do you say?
Yeah, that's a tough call right there. I've been trying like hell for the last month to try to raise the people up, and it's so difficult. And if you read the Patriot, you know, the founding fathers, the British Navy or the British soldiers were marching right down through the streets of New York. The militia was backing up, and the people, the citizens of the colonists were closing their doors, so opening the doors, seeing what was going on, and closing their doors as they're watching their own militia back up because the British Army is coming down through the streets of New York. So, I mean, people do not historically get involved. But the other thing, back to the sheriff, you know, I brought this up 4 or 5 years ago about the constitutional sheriffs, and nobody really wanted to jump into that. Sheriff Mack has been trying to go across the country. You can join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and support that organization to make the sheriffs take action. But the thing that falls back on is, they keep falling back on, is that they're supported, they're funded by the state. The state, you know, controls everything. They control
okay, I have a question on that, just so I'm clear on what you're trying to say. Are you saying the state funds what?
The sheriff.
The county funds the sheriff. That's discretionary.
Right,
it's the county, not the state. Because it's
But the counties pay their money into the state. The state doesn't give the money back to the counties anymore. You have to qualify for a grant to get your money back. And that's corruption right there. We should not be sending the money to the state.
Yeah, I get all that. Okay, I don't want to go. I love you. I just want to go down that trail. I want to explain something, though. The county gets money back, and they have discretionary spending and mandatory spending. The mandatory spending, and that's where I think the confusion is, the mandatory spending is when the county is told by the state, hey, you got to spend it on this, you got to spend it on that. I'm not sure what the percentage is now, but I know it has been as high in some counties as 87%. The money's dictated. The rest of it's discretionary spending. Let me finish so people understand the difference. Let me finish so that people can understand the difference, okay? You may, but they don't. Okay, so when you have discretionary spending, that means that you have money that you get back, and you can use that for fire, you can use that for the DA's office, you can use that for the sheriff's department, you use that for, any kind of law enforcement, et cetera, et cetera. So the counties are spending the money and really control the budgets of the DA's office and control the budgets of the sheriff's department. That's what I'm trying to say. So the state, in that regard, they give us a pittance. One of the things we run into, Steve, and I think this will interest you, is that in San Diego, they have like a welcoming center, and I think it was around $8 million or $7 to $8 million that the Board of Supervisors in San Diego said, yeah, let's bring them in. And that had to be out of discretionary spending. From what I understand, that was not a grant. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So then, I met with Sheriff Lopey back in the day 7 times when this cartel thing first started coming up. Number one, I was meeting with him to control this police state attitude of the police against the people. Because back in the day when they started rambling up with all this protective gear that they wear, remember when they used to just wear a pistol and a thing around their waist, their
a
pistol,
belt.
And that was it. They didn't have all the rest of the Rambo gear that they wear today.
Right. Yeah.
And so everything became a police state. It sort of felt that way. And I was talking to Lopey about, you know, we're not going there. Make sure we don't go there because I'm not going to stand for it. And, you know, he would say, well, you know, the state. And now LaRue is talking about his hands are tied. He can't do anything about it. The state won't help him at all with the National Guard.
The drug thing?
The National Guard, yeah.
Right.
And so there again, right there, makes Newsom very, very guilty of treason for not protecting our state with our National Guard, knowingly that the cartel is in here. And it's not just up here or down there with you. It's all over Lancaster. I heard of a huge grow down there in Lancaster. And then down in the Palm Desert area, or down there in the desert area, it's all over California. And Newsom is allowing this to happen. That's treason right there.
Well, it's, by not, you know, I think that's true. As far as he is definitely committing a crime, all kinds of them, you know.
Exactly.
And,
so, I mean,
and
the people will not stand up. They just keep.
Well, you know, and that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to go into right now.
Hey, Steve, when you're talking about the marijuana grows, I worked for the county for 8.5-9 years, and in that, I was an appraiser, property appraiser for the county, and I went out in the rural area because my work area was strictly rural, and there were so many marijuana grows, so many meth labs. It was awful. It was horrible out there. I ran across them a lot. I had guns pointed at me several times. So I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's only gotten worse. And that was before Newsom became our governor. That was under the jurisdiction of Governor Brown multiple times. So when you have that same party doing the same thing over and over again, which is nothing to help anybody except for themselves and line their own pockets, that's all they are doing. They're using us against ourselves, and that's all they're doing. It's actually gotten worse now. It was bad then, and we were supposedly at the time, Shasta County was worse than Trinity and Humboldt. So now it's even worse. So what do you do on that? How does that work? And I know what happened up in your county. The militia groups and some of the sheriff's deputies from Shasta County went up and helped your county to go in and do a cleanup and a sweep and what have you on some of those marijuana grows. We've heard that from countless people that happened. So how come the National Guard isn't coming in to help out? When you have to call your neighboring counties and all their manpower to leave what they leave at home to go up there to help the neighboring county out, which we should do, but at the same time, then you're leaving yourself wide open for things to happen. So I question it all the way around.
More reason why the county should not be sending their money to the state. You know, we've been over this before, too, but it's really, how long is it going to take before we realize that, you know, how do we get to the people, the everyday people? It's always the same 100, 300 people fighting for the freedom.
You're right.
Just like in the Patriot days, the same thing. You know, how do we get to the people? Anyway, thank you for your show. You guys are great.
All right, buddy. Thank you for your insight.
Thanks, Steve.
You know, the thing is that being down in the Southern California counties, and like I said, 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, I was down in the San Diego area, a lot of great people want to do some things there. I think the one thing we have to be looking at is there's so much diversity and so many things to do. Everybody has their own little cause.
Right.
Well, here's the deal.
You can't spread yourself too thin.
The cause has got to be liberty.
Yeah.
We came up with a system of a support statement, an information form, and a volunteer sheet. And we developed something like that. We developed that down, and we developed that here, actually.
Years ago. Yep.
And we formulated that and streamlined it to where it would fit with immigration, school system, and boards of supervisors, the machines, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So once we've done that, streamlined it, and if anybody's listening, or I know they're going to be listening later on, if any of you are listening about that, that's the way we have to do it. We've got to build that army. We have to give people a voice. Now, here's something else that I want to talk about again. And again, let's go back to Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3. That's the key. You know, that is the key right there. Unless, we have a big unless, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a big unless, now what if the sheriffs got together, and from what I understand from what Johnson said, the sheriffs are getting together and saying, hey, we need to unite in this front and say we're not going to do this. Now, I don't know where the motivation is coming from with some of these sheriffs. You would hope it would be from a noble side, but then it also could be, hey, I'm going to be really stretched. I don't know if I've got to pay my guys. They're not going to like what I'm doing. I don't have any money. I need more money. By the way, I need more money. And did I say I need more money?
They always need. They always need more money.
Okay, so what
it's about the money.
What I suggest is something they did in Cottonwood, and the militia started this, and that's community watches.
Mm-hmm.
Not your neighborhood watch thing where you sit there and you lock all your doors and windows and you call a cop and wait for 2 hours while you're being robbed.
No.
First of all, there has to be a defense you have to have in your home. I don't care what, you know, whether it's, I don't know, a taser or whether it's pepper spray or
a water cannon
or a water cannon.
Yeah.
Or hey, you know, better yet.
Potato shooters, man. That'll do it.
Again, a nail gun.
Gun. There you go.
But how about a good old fashioned gun?
Absolutely.
And I think that it's come to a point where we need to have community watches. That would be where you'd have communities getting together, neighborhoods getting together. I mean, we have a lot of neighborhoods where we want to go ahead and we want to canvass people. Hey, that's good. We should do that. How about we have some of the men out there become the community watch leaders, the community watch people, where a couple of them will drive around maybe in four-hour shifts, especially in the evening, where you have people that volunteer in your community to drive around and monitor what's going on. A lot of times if somebody knows you're watching them and you've got your cell phone and your camera and you're driving around doing
that. They go somewhere else.
They go somewhere else.
Yep.
And, can I help you find something? I'm just a good neighbor here.
Right. Are you lost?
Yeah. Are you lost?
Yeah.
And I think that we need to start doing that. These neighborhood watch things are a joke. Let's have a meeting and then the cop ends up telling you we don't have enough cops. Everybody that's listening to this and in America has heard that.
Yep.
There's just not enough cops. That's right. There's not enough cops because it's not up to the cops to protect us. It's up to us to protect us.
And they have no moral or financial obligation.
Not at all.
Or statute obligation to do it. Yeah.
That's right.
They're always there to clean up and to cite what happened.
So, if we're going to be we the people, we have to start acting like it. So I would submit we need to do is start a thing called a community watch, and we can develop that, and we will be developing something like that to look at it. We can use the blueprint that they did, Woody Clendenin and the guys down there in Cottonwood. What they did is put together a really great blueprint, and it may not work in every neighborhood, but it'll work in some. It'll work in a lot of them. You have to do something. And the other thing is push the sheriff to say, you know what, when you look at Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, that word unless is right there, and you're the one who is the line of defense, and Sheriff Johnson, by your own words, you're the one who's the line of defense here. You said it yourself, all right?
Yep.
So maybe you should start organizing some community watches, especially in the unincorporated areas, and start working with these people rather than, trying to be it's one thing to be a leader, and it's one thing to be a leader and maybe have control, but that has to be something that's given to you by the people who are willing to follow you and follow your command.
Well, you start out as a representative because
that's right.
If you're elected into it, you're a representative. You're representing the constituency. Now, do you turn into a leader by doing the job and doing the tasks that need to happen to lead the people and to be a sounding board and all that kind of stuff? That's where the leadership comes in. They're not always automatically leaders just because they got elected. That doesn't happen. They are representatives. Good, bad, or indifferent, they're representatives. Now, if they become a leader, that's a totally different issue, and that's a great issue if they do that. That's what we're waiting for.
Yeah, the thing is, too, is that do you not trust your constituents? I mean, it's kind of like, this Baird versus Bonta situation now is getting national attention.
Right.
Gary Zerman now is on that.
Yep.
And, we have a caller. Okay. Dick, what say you? Are you talking about this subject?
No.
Yeah?
I just tuned in. I have company from out of town.
Okay. We're talking about a really important subject of immigration, and we're kind of staying in that lane.
Well, I was trying to help Laura Hobbs.
Yeah.
And, she has a gun raffle. The tickets are $20. I have lots of those. My friend Morton Gysecki dropped by last night with a stack of books. It's called The Bulletproof Guards, George Washington. And his idea is that anybody buys a gun ticket, they're going to get a free book. It's a life story of George Washington. And anyway, he's trying to help Laura by offering, when you buy one or more tickets, you get one of these free books about the history of George Washington. So I'm just wondering about that.
Okay.
Anyway, my number is 530-246-9131. And he's also going to take some of these books down to Jones's Fort and he's got the gun tickets there too. So help Laura with buying some of these gun tickets.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Dick.
Okay. Thank you, Dick. He's a patriot.
He is a patriot. I got two of those books on my car today. More must have been up early or out late. I'm not sure which, but I got one for you, brother.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he left me two, one for me and one for you. So anyway, getting back to the immigration situation, let's size this up. Okay, we have to take charge ourselves as people. I would think that we need to start doing community watches. And again, Woody Clendenin has put together something with their community watches, how it works, all that good stuff. We'll get a blueprint from him.
There you go.
And then we'll get that out to all you folks out there. You folks in San Diego, Chula Vista, you're really going to need that. Chula Vista is so beautiful, and San Diego is so beautiful, and that is the pinnacle of where they're going after us is in San Diego.
Yeah.
Steve Frank wrote an article that, the illegals are in San Diego.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I mean, it just appalls me that you can look across the border and know that that stuff is coming at you, and they even know which house is doing what. And the Mexican government isn't being pressured to do anything. Are you serious?
And what about when you're seeing footage on different social media platforms where they're actually cruising boats up onto the beach, and then they just bail off like roaches, and they scatter onto the beachfront, and they just run into the communities that they invade. They're doing that as well. So why is our shoreline not being protected? What's going on there? Who's dropping the ball there? Or who opened the gate there? It's got to be the same thing. They're just letting invaders invade, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, yeah, and okay.
And that comes back to the governor.
It does. Well, and
our legislature.
Yeah.
Our legislature. California State Legislature.
Perfect.
Every single time we vote for these jack wagons to get in there, every single county, every single district, every single assembly, a Senate, you name it, Congress, all of them, they all need to be cleaned up because they are not doing the will of the people. They are actually violating the will of the people. And call them all out. Make them tell you what they're doing right. Make them prove to you what they're doing right. I dare you to do it. I challenge you to do it.
Yeah, the solution isn't going to be, more Republicans. The solution, 80 and 40.
Doesn't matter
is the
party
problem.
As long as they're doing the job.
80 and 40 is the problem.
Yeah.
80 assembly, 40 senators. Is the problem.
Totally underrepresented
totally
here
underrepresented.
In the state of California. Totally underrepresented.
And California is too big to be governed.
That's right.
Okay? And again, we can always go back to Santa Clara, you know, what, 84%?
Hell, if we were
Democrats,
six coastal states, then we'd be a hell of a lot better off.
A lot better off. You know, and then the thing that we're missing is that, you know, Steve had talked about treason. It's really not treason what Newsom is doing. It could be insurrection, but it's even really not treason what Biden's doing. He has to protect the borders. The idea is the definition of protect. It's
right.
Kind of like what is the word is. It depends on what the word is, right?
Correct.
Okay, so they're using that logic by saying, okay, we believe that every 100 miles we need 20 Border Patrol agents. Well, no, you need probably 2,000, but whatever the case may be. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The point is that they're still doing something which covers that, in their mind, covers their butt. Treason is aiding and abetting the enemy. That's what it is. Or overthrowing the government. That's what it is. And so that's treason. Now, insurrection, yeah, trying to usurp that or usurp the Constitution, that. And this is where Newsom has got it. It's Article 6, the Commerce Clause, Section 2. The Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. Okay, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Those enumerated things we gave and put in there as restrictions and guarantees, as we put those in there, that's the supreme law of the land. Now, they're not adhering to that part. Shall be the supreme law of the land, and all judges, oh boy, in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. So if the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land, we're not following Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, Article 4, Section 4, we're not doing any of those things as far as jurisdiction goes. What they did in Shasta County, when they said, okay, we want to show Shasta sovereignty. Well, the sovereignty is that of the people. And in the 10th Amendment, the people are the ones who can stand up if the state doesn't and the federal government doesn't. We have to build an army. And those of you who have been taught this know about support statements, know about information forms, and know about the volunteer list. And I saw, it was in Sacramento, I saw a group of people under a pop-up that were standing there saying, hey, we need to get rid of the machines. I couldn't believe it, waving flags. And I'm honking. I was on the way to a celebration of life of a real sister. And, a wonderful lady, my wife's maid of honor, who passed away in December. But anyway, point being is that those people were out there. So we need to get out there and do that, but we have to stand up at these meetings and demand. We've got to demand. And we need community watches, not neighborhood watches. We need people who are going to go on patrol.
Yep.
You know, it just gets to a point where we have to. Oh, we have Gavin on the line.
Good morning, Gavin.
Hey, Gavin.
You have anything to defend? Good morning. Are you defending yourself?
You know, the way things are, the militia could, you know, be up there helping the law enforcement do cleanups in Siskiyou, and maybe even it could happen down here in Shasta, but I doubt it.
They have done it, Gavin.
Yeah, okay, so
Gavin, they have done it. And yeah, the thing is that the point is that the militias were asked. In fact, there is a group in Siskiyou County who virtually do that. They actually do that. They go up there, as Wynn pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff's Department, volunteers.
We know the people.
There.
We know the people.
Yeah, it's common knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So the thing is that those people are doing that. It isn't a matter if I don't doubt them. I think that basically, they're obviously telling the truth. They did it. I mean, Sheriff LaRue asked them to.
Yeah.
All right. And Johnson said, yeah, we're doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. So they are doing that aspect. So, maybe I misunderstood what you were talking about, but the way I look at it, they're certainly doing what they need to do.
Yep.
What we need to have is community watches. Now, the rural counties may have a better, handle at that. Places like Siskiyou, Shasta, Tehama,
Modoc, Trinity, yeah.
Yeah, et cetera. And a lot of those counties, it could be easier because you're community watching. There's a lot of people out there that would be willing to go ahead and do that. The urban areas are a little bit tougher. The challenge that they're going to have in urban areas, especially when you look at some place like San Diego where you have so many great patriots. Oh, my gosh. Great patriots, great people. And to see that point of entry down there.
Mm-hmm. That invasion.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, it's really something. We have to protect our border. And we've got to protect our counties. The simple fact that Sheriff Johnson came out, and granted, probably could have come out sooner. I agree with you, brother. But the simple fact that he did, let's get a solution to do it. And I think that the sheriff should enlist the militia.
Absolutely.
And people, and any citizen that wants to help. It doesn't necessarily have to be in maybe a more complex activity,
right,
but even in an activity that would be helping. I mean, bringing water. I mean, something.
Something, yeah.
So I think that we have to start looking at our county, and it really is up to the people. Now we're going to do. In fact, in Mountaintop Media, you and I need to do a video.
Podcast, yeah.
Podcast. And Wynn brought up some good points about having everything listed out, which we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to start taking this back as our counties. We need to be taking this back as our country because time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve LA. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
have no clue.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.